basket, the room, all of those wonderful things. And thank you for worshiping the Lord. And I am glad to know tonight, now I'll be honest with you, I'm just going to, well, if this hurts your feelings, then just get over it if you're listening out there on Facebook. But there's some churches you have to pump and prime for 6 weeks before you can even have revival. Thank God for a revival-minded church with a revival-minded bishop that's just ready to plug in and say, whatever the Holy Ghost is doing, let's do it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, get up, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place, somebody say every place. Oh, you didn't say it like you believed it. Every place. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Ooh, help me, Jesus. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites. God, I wish I had time to preach about that right now. And unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, I know this ain't gonna make much sense right now, but if the Holy Ghost will help us, we'll get where we're gonna go tonight. I want to preach to you just for a little while on the simple thought, quarantined. Quarantined. Somebody said, oh Lord Jesus, help us. We don't want to hear that word. Hallelujah. Hopefully you'll look at it in a different way tonight by the time the Lord's done. Would you lift your hands and your voice to heaven and ask the Lord to move in this place? God, we love you. God, we ask you right now to have your way in this house. Move in a mighty way. We can't do anything without you, Jesus, but we can do anything through you. We ask you today, God, deliver, set free, make a way out of no way. Open up the blinded eyes, unstop the deaf ears. Work a miracle in this house. Do things that no man could do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. One more time, would you clap your hands up to the Lord and give God a shout of praise. That was pretty cute. I said, clap your hands unto the Lord. It ain't for me, it's for Jesus. Come on, it's not for me, it's for Jesus. Why don't you clap and shout unto God with a voice of triumph and with a voice of praise. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. Israel, from the year 1446 BC when they crossed the Red Sea until 1406 when they entered into Canaan land, have witnessed the mighty hand of God like none other but the angels. Everyone say the angels. Nobody has seen God move like these children of Israel have seen God move but the angels. We see them being miraculously guided by the hand of the Lord. They watch as God delivers them from Pharaoh. He protects what belongs to him by a fire and a cloud. And nobody had ever seen that before but the angels. It's a part of the Eden experience, as the cloudy mist would come down upon the water and protect the fruit of the ground. And the angel was then placed at the gate with a flaming sword to keep mankind out. The children of Israel continue as they walk through the Red Sea. It was familiar to no one. Nobody had ever seen the water parted, but the angels, as they had watched as creation had taken place and the water was torn apart and the firmament came forth. The Red Sea is then closed on Pharaoh and his army. And yet again, nobody has ever seen this, but the angels, because they watched and as the floodwaters came upon the earth and devoured all of mankind. They walk into the wilderness and begin, and God begins to feed them with manna and with quail. And while the Bible says they had to gather it, and again, nobody has ever seen this, but the angels step back and they remember what it looked like every day when Adam and Eve would gather, make no preparations, just get up and take from the fruit of the earth what they wanted. Everyone in the Israelite camp, although they sometimes complain, I have to believe they were all struck by what was happening, because nobody has ever seen this before. Hallelujah. One phenomenon after another with Moses as their leader going towards the promised land. I'm just going to kind of fast forward through the story tonight. You know, the baton is passed and Joshua begins to lead God's people, a new generation that are yet holding on to an old promise. These were not the ones that left with Moses from Egypt. These were not the ones that seen the Red Sea parted. These were not those, no indeed, but this was a new generation that yet held on to the promise that everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. They were not there the very first time that this was spoken, but there was something in their spirit. Although they were young, they held on to the promise that the Lord had given his children. They held on to the fact that they were going to walk some places, and as they walked, God was going to give everything that they stepped over to them and their family. It sounds so familiar to everybody because God had not let Israel fail. It sounded so familiar to everyone because every time they had came to a place and it looked as if God's power had run out, God kept showing himself strong. And that's again why God reiterates in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3 that everything that I told Moses, I'm going to tell you the same thing. And just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And so it doesn't matter what you come up against, just understand that my power does not fail. My power does not diminish. I'm capable to do all things. All things were made by me, and I'm God. I can do what I want to do. So I need I remind you that as God continues to show himself strong, as he begins to work, the angels stand back and remember how God had worked in so many similar ways, because again, angels are an eternal being from the point that God created them. And so they stand back, and need I remind you that Lucifer himself is a fallen angel. And so with every time he made a play against the people of God, it's undoubtable that Lucifer remembered, just like the angels, the last time God worked a miracle that was similar to the one that he just worked. He steps back and says, I've seen that before. He's parted the water before. He's closed the water in before. He's gave God's people the ability to gather before. This is nothing new. I've seen this before. He's seen from the beginning the miracle working hand of God in action. And there are many now that oppose the Israelite, God's chosen people. As a matter of fact, the Bible names seven different nations that were the opposition of God's people. And we know that all of these people have an evil force driving them because of the gods that they worship. They can't stand the fact that God's people have been released from Egypt. They can't stand the fact that God's people have found provision in the wilderness. And now they can't stand the fact that God's people are getting ready to cross the Jordan River. They don't like God's people living in liberty. They don't like God's people living in the blessings. And that's why the devil does everything that he can to get you to stop in the wilderness, because he really knows the blessings that are on the way, and he don't like you being blessed. I'm just here to put the devil on notice. I don't care what you like or dislike. I'm going to walk with God.
And I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. I'm going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. It's the will of God. You hear me right now, New Life. It's the will of God for you to be blessed. Now, God's people are getting ready to cross the Jordan River. And the angels stand back and watch as the priest walks into the Jordan River. And the water's backed up. And Lucifer steps back. And this is just me imagining things. He says, yeah, I've seen that before too. It wasn't too long ago. Just about 40 years ago, guys, they did that again. About 40 years ago, God parted the water. Then we come to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, now then I understand, these are the people that they're getting ready to go in and possess the land. These are the first line of defense against the children of Israel. And the Bible says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Jericho was the first city in Canaan. Not by accident. It was thought of by the aristocrats of that day as the first line of defense. Some even say it was a military type city. We know that it had strong walls and towers. Many thought that it was impenetrable. This first line of fence was thought to house the strongest and the quickest and the smartest in the army of Jericho. Oh, after all, who wants a defense that's weak? I imagine them sitting together making their plans because they've been hearing about what God has been doing, and they started talking about what's going to happen when they get here. How can we stop God's people? I picture in my mind's eye the armies of Jericho shining their armor, talking about past battles and victories. But they start hearing the talk around town, and they know they've been victorious many times, but they start hearing about all the victories that God's people's been having. I know we're bad to the bone, but did you hear what God did for them? Did you hear what they're... I know we got gods that are powerful, but did you hear what their gods have been doing? You see, their gods have been taking down everything that gets in their way. Their gods has been making a way in the wilderness. Their God has brought to an end everything that lifted itself up against them. And now they begin to think about everything that their God has done. The children of Israel, the one true living God, has done. And suddenly the swift are running to hide behind the gates, and the strong are lifting the heavy beams to the bar of the gates, and now they are hiding. It was a place where the enemy of God's people felt safe. It was a place they felt like, surely God can't get in here. Surely their God can't tear down our walls. They went into a place where none came out and none came in. Can I just take a moment, and I'll come back to this for in just a few moments, but can I take a moment and just preach right here today that a true revival church will put hell in quarantine? The Bible says because they've been hearing about the miracles. Listen, that's why you're an overcomer by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. It's not just for somebody else to hear about all the good stuff that's going on. Hey, it's time to put hell in quarantine. It's time to put hell on the run. I want hell to hide when I walk in the room. I'm not interested in a bragging contest, but what I am interested in is standing up and telling everybody about how good my God is and about how my God made a way out of no way. I'm telling you right now, in Birmingham, the devil's scared to death. You want to know why? It's because God's people are rising up with a testimony that we came out of the ashes. We came from nothing. We came from brokenness. We came from addictions, but God, who is rich in mercy, made a way. He brought us out of Pharaoh's hand. He brought us through the wilderness, and I believe he'll do it again. I get excited. I'm going to preach here in a minute, but I get excited when I hear stuff like that. I've seen him do it, and he'll do it again, because I start thinking about all the ways that he's made and all the doors that he's opened and battles that I didn't even get to see that God went before me and made the crooked places straight. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The devil should have already killed you. The devil should have already had you out of the house of God. But God put, when he started hearing about how big this God was, he said, bar the doors, boys. Shut up the city. Don't let none come out and none go in, because there's a big God out there that's able to do big things. And there's a people out there that believe in their God. Hallelujah. It is this place that the enemy feels comfortable. Because let's be honest, there's no way. We all know about quarantine right now. There's no way that out there is coming in here. Because the truth of the matter is he parted the Jordan River. But we've heard that he parted water before. And he provided in the wilderness. But we've heard that he's done that before. But let's just be honest. He's never torn down walls. God, I feel like preaching. All the miraculous stuff that he's done, that's cool. But that God has never had to fight these walls. I mean, let's just be honest. The last time he come up against walls was at the Tower of Babel, and he didn't tear them down. He just confounded their language. What's the worst that can happen? Just shut the door. And Lucifer standing back with his arms crossed, saying that Holy Ghost power will never get in here. We're quarantined. You can't catch that in here. Just like, can I just preach like a country boy tonight? And we'll preach pretty later. But just like there's some spirits in Birmingham that have closed up shop, locked the door, and said there's no way that Holy Ghost can work in this house. He's never tore down these walls before. But God speaks to Joshua. And when he begins to talk to Joshua, they've heard that he's done all these many mighty things. But then God starts telling Joshua, Joshua, behold, I do a new thing. Can I preach to new life? That God's getting ready to do a new thing. We've shouted over victories in the past. We've danced over what God's done way back when. But can I tell this body of believers that God is getting ready to tear down some things that have never been torn down. God's getting ready to bring victory to some things that have never had victory. God's getting ready to bring deliverance to your family that's never had deliverance. Behold, I do a new thing. Behold, when the devil thought he finally had God where he couldn't move, because these walls are strong and he's never torn down walls, God says, watch this. I know they're big. I know they're strong. But I'm going to do a new thing in your midst. I'm preaching to somebody right now that's got big walls. But can I tell you that the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Behold, I do a new thing. Hell's never been shut up like this, but watch it get shut up. Hell's never been immobile before, but watch it become immobile. Hey. I know it's a different era. And our world will probably never be the same. But let me just tell you this. When something happens that we've never done before, that we've never dealt with before, that we've never came up with, but come up against before. I stood with every apostolic preacher. When was it? February, March, when they said you're going to have to shut down your churches. And I heard it time and time again, Pastor Collins, we don't know what to do. We've never been here before. We've never seen anything like this. But can I tell you that when you get in a place that you've never been before, God starts doing things he's never done before. When you get in a place that you've never been before, you start seeing miracles that you've never seen before. You start seeing blessings that you've never seen before. I got news for hell. You better run and you better hide, because God is getting ready to do a new thing in Birmingham. And okay, please don't take me as insensitive, okay? But the truth of the matter is we're looking at something right now. Can I just preach how I feel? Good, I was going to anyway. But I seen people that wouldn't even come out of their house and got COVID. And I thought to myself, they don't even know how contagious the Holy Ghost is. You can lock up, you can put up walls, you can slam the door, but the Holy Ghost is what got away. Seeping through the walls, crawling over stuff. Hey, I'm telling you, revival like we've never seen. It's not on the way, honey. It's here right now, because God is doing a new thing. Somebody got a reason to shout on a Sunday night, because your family that said, I'll never come, God says, watch this, I'm going to do a new thing. Your family that's addicted, that said, I'll never be made free, God said, watch this, I'll make a way out of no way.
Give me Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. Can we put that up there? Y'all are awesome. Thank you so much. Joshua 6 and 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, look, pay attention. Open your eyes. Look around you. So you get to the point. That is the point. Joshua, you've been standing here wondering how you're going to do it. And all you got to do is open up your eyes and realize that there's more for you than there is for them. I have given unto thine hand Jericho. Now watch this. And the king thereof. I'm fixing to preach the paint off the walls. And. Somebody shout and. The mighty men of valor. Can I bring that Old Testament type and shadow into the New Testament of where we're living right now? God said, I'm not just going to give you Birmingham, but I'm going to give you the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. So unbox that a little bit, preacher. I want you to understand that the strong man of Birmingham, he's going to be bound, and the mighty men of valor, all the generals in his army. You know what that means? That means that there's some big drug dealers in Birmingham that are going to be on the pew at New Life. That means there's some adulterers in Birmingham that are going to be on the pew. That means... cheaters, stealers, murderers. God said, the mighty men of valor, the ones that have been mighty in the army of Jericho, I'm going to give them under your hand.
I really wish I had some kind of way of knowing how scared the devil is right now. Just think about it. They don't even know what Pentecost is. They might be in a bar room, but they're a mighty man of valor in the army of Jericho. And God said, I'm going to put it in your hands, Bishop. You don't even recognize, but that next Bible study you get ready to teach might be a millionaire from somebody that's been selling drugs their whole life. That next Bible study you get might be the ringleader of every gang in Birmingham. The next Bible study you get, I'm going to tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be a mighty man of valor from the city of Jericho. And God said, Joshua, I'm putting them in your hand. My God, I feel good in the Holy Ghost. And he said, you shall compass the city, oh, ye men of war. Go round about the city once, thus shalt thou do this 6 days. Seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horn. Somebody shout ram's horn. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with trumpets. Understand that the children of Israel did everything with method. They wasn't accidentally doing things. And God speaks to them like this for a reason. You see, because the children of Israel had two different trumpets that they would use. They had a silver trumpet or a brass trumpet, whatever you want to call it. And then they had the ram's horn or the shofar. And they used them, they had different tones, and so they would use them to proclaim different things. And if you go and begin to study Israelite history, you will find that the silver trumpet is always used when it's time to declare war. But the ram's horn was always used to declare victory. And so you see God's people, before the battle's ever started, God said, I know you got your own way of doing things, but don't take the silver trumpet of war. Take the ram's horn of victory. And when you go to the walls of Jericho, don't declare war, declare victory. When you get to something that you've never faced before, in a place that you've never been before, don't come in and declare war. Come in and declare victory. When you go to... See, that's the problem with us, is we're too busy declaring war to understand that God said, I already done it. You didn't hear me. He said, I've already won. I've already got victory. I've already made a way. And you keep fighting battles that you shouldn't even be fighting, because you keep declaring war on stuff that I never told you to declare war on. You're declaring war on stuff I told you to declare victory on. Understand, there's times you got to declare war, but honey, when you come into a new place, God says, I'm going to do a new thing. That's not the time to declare war. That's the time to declare victory. I don't know how, and I don't know where, but somehow God, out of thin air, out of the cosmos of nothingness, brings victory. You know, I just learned how to explain it like this. Let God be God. See, I can see just some of y'all looking at me right now like it's got to be harder than that. Honey, it ain't harder than that. That's the problem. You keep wanting some big conglomerated way of, you got to come to church and you got to run the aisles exactly seven times, and you got to do it at 4.7 miles per hour. And when you get on the last lap, you got to jump twice on your right foot and twice on your left foot, spin around to the left, spin around to the right, and you keep expecting victory to come like that. When God...
Just let God be God. You don't need to know how God's going to do it. Just know he's going to do it.
Everywhere that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. I got a prophetic word for New Life. Everywhere that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Well, preacher, it's a 45-minute drive. Everywhere that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, it might be a daughter work, it might be a coffee shop, I don't know what it's gonna be, but everywhere that the sole of your foot. Some of you young people ought to start shouting right now, because while you're at your campus at high school, while you're at your college, God said everywhere, I want to do a new. It's never been done before in Birmingham. We've never had revival on a campus of a major college. We've never had apostolic outpouring on a college like that. But watch this, God started making a way out of no way. And it was one convert, and the next thing you know, there was 10, then there was 100, then there was 1,000, because somebody just started marching and claiming territory. Somebody just started marching around and declaring it for the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I got a feeling every devil that's in Birmingham's getting quarantined right now. When nothing, watch this, when nothing goes out and nothing comes in, it Jericho at that point, now this is just simple, but I'm sometimes we overlook simple stuff. Jericho become immobile. And what's the first thing they teach you how to do when you get in the army? They teach you how to march. But when you can't go out and you can't go in, it starts breaking down the fundamentals of how you do war. We've never seen it like this before. That's because we serve a God that just does new stuff. He's called the Creator for a reason. And so the reason he wanted them to become immobile is because you have to understand anything, it's in the kingdom of God, and hell tries to set up its kingdom just like the kingdom of God. And I wish I had time to preach about that. Maybe we'll get to that at another point in time. But the kingdom of God is mobile. The kingdom of the adversary, it's mobile. And when you take away its mobility, you take away its power. Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord moved. Everything to do with God is always moving. God's never sitting still. That's why when you want to understand the Spirit of God and typology and types and shadows of the Old Testament, you always study water, because that's what it's doing. And when you start reading about stagnation in the Old Testament, it's always about a people that have went away from God. And so anytime you take away an army's mobility, you take away their power. So God says, I want the church in Birmingham to know that when you start moving and you start treading upon these places, you start walking around and marching, and you start claiming places for the Lord, you're making hell become immobile, and you're shrinking its power down bit by bit by bit. And so when I used to come to church, hear me, when I used to come to church and have to fight hell just to get to the altar, all of a sudden it's a little bit easier. You want to know why? Because you're immobilizing hell's territory. You're immobilizing hell's army. I'm not saying you're not going to have battles. I don't know who started that hogwash of when you get the Holy Ghost, you never have another battle. That's not true. There will be battles. But for every battle, there'll be a victory. It's a fixed fight.
All you've got to do is mark. All you got to everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you.
So God tells him, he says, when you get to the place, you take the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man before him. He said, now this is the next thing you got to get. You put hell in quarantine. Now you shouted, and the walls came down. But it's not enough for the walls to just come down. He said, when the walls come down, let the people ascend up. It is not the will of God. I'm almost done, I promise. It's not the will of God for you to be in the same spiritual level that you're in this time next year. There's walls coming down, but you have a responsibility that when the walls come down, you do whatever you gotta do to go to the next level and ascend up on top of the wall.
In case y'all didn't know it, preachers are entitled to three closings. I've had one. I got two left.
But let's break this down here just for a moment. This word, takah, shout, it's the same word that you find in Psalms chapter 47. Thank you, Brother Antoine. And when you find it in Psalms 47 and 1, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. It's that same nature, this word that we find here in the word trumpet. It is the same word that you'll find in the word clap. It's the Hebrew word takah. It means to put your hands together. That's why it says clap. That's pretty self-explanatory. But it also means, it means to shout with a voice of triumph, which is what the rest of the verse tells us. But when you begin to dig a little bit into this Hebrew word, takah, it means to thrust with a weapon. And you thought all you was doing was shouting. You thought all you was doing was clapping. But he said, when you hear the voice of the trumpet, when you hear the voice of the priest, when Bishop stands up and says, we're going in and we're going to possess the land, and you hear the voice, when you hear that voice and you start clapping and you start shouting in the natural, all you're doing is putting your hands together. In the natural, all you're doing is lifting your voice. But in the spiritual, you're taking up a weapon and you're why we say, my praise is a weapon. My praise can tear down walls. It's when I pick up my shout, when I clap my hands, I'm thrusting a weapon. I'm thrusting the weapon of worship. I'm thrusting the weapon of praise. I'm thrusting a weapon. It's not carnal, but it's mighty. It's mighty. It's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Jericho, you better look out, cause new life has started marching. And everywhere we tread, we're gonna put you in court. I never. Walls start crumbling. And they say, we ain't never seen this before. We heard of everything that he does, but we ain't never seen it like this. Devil, you ain't seen nothing yet. I know you thought you saw us have revival, but we in a new season and God's getting ready to do a new thing. Understanding that the Old Testament vernacular of Joshua, You know it is the New Testament name of Jesus. So that means, and I don't have time to preach all of this. God, I wish I did. I'm in my third closing. I've done run out. Maybe I can borrow one from Wednesday night. I'm kidding. I get in a bind like that. But when we see Jesus doing some of this stuff, they said he shows up and they said, we ain't never seen it like this. We've seen miracles, but not like this. And beyond that, he's doing them on the Sabbath day. And he said, you don't even recognize, and I wish I had time to preach about it. Maybe I will at another time. But he tells them basically, you don't even recognize I'm God. I created the Sabbath. Now put that in your Prada and pack it. He's telling them who he is by what he does. Peter, I'm not going to just come up and tell you, yeah, I'm the Christ, but I'm going to show you who I am by what I do. So flesh and blood is not revealed. I didn't say this to you, but you got the revelation by recognizing what I do. It's who I am. I'm a miracle worker. I'm a way maker. And because you've seen me do that, you know that's who I am. And so in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is telling them all this good stuff. And he tells them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, and being assembled with them, put that up there, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you ready? You heard of me. And the devil's sitting back saying, yeah, but I've seen everything that you do. Last time you got me, because I'd never seen you tear down walls, but now I know you can do that too. And I've seen you open blinded eyes. What more can you do? And I've seen you unstop the deaf ears. We've seen you do all of that. We've seen this before. But Jesus, when they're in a place that they've never been, the stuff that he's never done before, and he said, you've heard about me, but you fixing to see me like you've never seen me before. You've heard about my power, and it's been external, but you're fixing to feel my power, and it's gonna be internal. So ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the devil said back, said, what's that? We've never seen him do that before. We've never understood how God, he'd never done this before. And God says, yeah, but when 120 get together and sit on the day of Pentecost, I'll start pouring out my spirit and doing things that I've never done, making a way out of no way. I said all of that to say this: if you want to see God do stuff that he's never done in your life, the key to that is to stop hearing about it and start participating in what he's doing. If you got walls that are bigger than you, if you've got problems that are bigger than you, then I'm going to tell you the Holy Ghost is still the answer. And the Holy Ghost can tear down that wall. The Holy Ghost can put that marriage back together again. The Holy Ghost can fix your finance. The Holy Ghost can heal your body. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. We're getting ready to put the devil on the run. But I want you to understand, God, we're not here to just shout. Now, I love to shout, but if you're just shouting just, because everybody else is doing it, honey, you're doing the wrong thing. I wish I had time to preach this. Lord, if I had all night, I could preach all night right now. But I know y'all are hungry and ready to go to Taco Bell. But here's the deal. Psalms 47 and 7, it tells us to praise him. Now, he instructs us to praise him
with clapping and shouting and all that stuff. And we're really good at that. But then he said in Psalm 47 and 7, praise him with understanding. So there it is. Boy, that's fast. Y'all need to give her a raise. Sing ye praises with understanding. So don't just clap because you're clapping. Don't just shout because everybody else is shouting, but do it with an understanding that when you do this, you're treading upon land that you've never walked on before. And everywhere, I'm going to say it till you get it in your spirit, and everywhere that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. So when we shout on a Sunday night, it's not just because it's what we do at New Life. It's not just because we're happy. It's because we have an understanding that our praise is a weapon, and we're taking authority and dominion over hell's territory. I wish somebody right now would step out in the aisle and walk in the Holy Ghost and tread upon some serpents and some scorpions. I wish somebody would walk in authority. Step out. I wish somebody in the balcony would just get down here around the front and just say, you know what? I've been fighting this wall. I've been up against Jericho. But I'm going to shout, and God's going to give us victory. God's going to give us a breakthrough. Somebody ought to shout like you know God is bringing you victory right now. Like you already know that the battle is already won. See what we're doing? We just all waiting on everybody. But when you got walls that have to come down, you can't wait on the musician. Yeah. When you got walls that have to come down, you can't wait on your neighbor. When you're up against stuff that you never thought before, honey, you can't wait till everybody else gets their dance on. You gotta get your dance on, understanding that my praise, it is my weapon. It's how I do war. Yeah. Now praise him with that in mind. Don't wait on your neighbor. Don't wait on the one in front of you. Don't wait on the singer. But praise him knowing that your wall is coming down.
All the time. This is a praising church. I love this church. But you see, when you want walls to fall, that's what they say insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
But the truth of the matter is, with God, it kind of works that way. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so he says, I want you to continue what you've been doing, but doing it the same way you've always done it won't get the walls down. See, they on the seventh day, they had already been here before. The last 6 days they've been here. But you know what brings down walls? When you do what you know to do, but you increase your intensity. See, some of y'all are here tonight, and I'm just going to tell you, this is the way it's going to be with Brother Phillips and Revival. I'm going to push me. I'm going to push you. We're not going to just kind of have patty cake revival. I don't believe in that. It's against my religion. But let me tell you something. Some of you are just doing the same thing that you always do on Sunday night because you're just trying to get through and get out of here. But I'm telling you, if you want Jericho's walls to fall, you got to do the things that you've always done, but you've got to increase your intensity. And so, Joshua, I want you to do what you've done before, but I want you to do it 7 times. I want you to do it greater. I want you to do it. I wish somebody right now that needs a miracle would do what you know to do, but do it with an intensity that you've never done it before. Shout like you've never shouted. Dance like you've never danced. Worship like you've never worshiped. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it.
Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name.
Something happens when I call your name.
need the Holy Ghost, I want you to come up here to the front. If you need deliverance from addiction, I want you to get up here around this pulpit right now. And God's going to deliver you. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight. If you want it, come up. If you want a breakthrough, if you want a breakthrough, you got to praise Him for it.
If you're praying, I want you to just go right ahead and pray. But I want Sister Tabitha to come right now, and I want her to testify about something that God is doing. And something that God is doing in an area where there hadn't been a whole lot of movement in the past. Tabitha is the product of a holiness Trinitarian background. And she's kind of an anomaly, like Bobby Canute came out of that. And there's generation of children and grandchildren that have come out of those singular lives. But there's some movement going on in that right now. And there's a stronghold of that down where Tabby's from. And there's a stronghold of that here. And these are, in terms of people, good people. And they love God and they're walking in holiness. They just need to get turned on to the name of Jesus and baptism and the oneness of God.
Praise the Lord, church. So a few weeks ago, I had a contact with a friend of mine that actually goes to the Bessemer Church. And so my husband, Bobby Canute, my husband's mom, and Rosemary, Tasha's mom, they all grew up in a holiness Trinitarian church down in the Bessemer area, and we all refer to it as Pawpaw Roper's church. And full of the Holy Ghost, holiness, move of God through all of our life growing up, and saw the power of God moving, and but also a long line of tradition. And the same way I was, I came here to New Life, and I sat here and listened to Brother Sutton for probably almost 7 years, and I was never baptized in Jesus' name. I had the Holy Ghost, but I was never baptized in Jesus' name. So to try to make a long story short, the pastor of that church that John and Bobby and Rose and them grew up under, his granddaughter and her family, she married a preacher, and they've been living up north and everything. But to make a long story short, that's a long line of tradition, and you know, how can I say this? A long line of tradition that you don't want to let your wall down about, because you've got ancestors and grandparents, and you know. But the way I see it, and the way I, you know, I saw lots of moves of God in my life growing up, but there was something more that I just needed to add to that. And when I saw the name of Jesus baptism, it was powerful and it was wonderful. So the granddaughter and her husband and all of their kids of that church that Bobby and all of them grew up in have now been baptized in Jesus' name. And so God's doing great things. I don't know where things are going with that, but there's a whole lot of doors that can be opened up with that. There's something stirring with that. And so, anyway, praise the Lord, and y'all just keep praying.
I'm believing God for Tabby's mama. I'm believing she's going to go down in the water in Jesus' name. And there's a revival in those fellowships. Somebody say praise the Lord. Places where God hasn't moved a lot in recent years. But I believe every word of the preacher tonight. I believe God's going to start doing some things he's never done before. Are you ready for God to do some things you've never seen before? Are you ready to be a part of God doing some things you've never seen before? Let's go right on. Press into that a little bit. Press into that a little bit. Sing that a little bit. Worship God a little bit.
Call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name.
Go ahead, call on that name.
Something happens when I call your name.
Somebody
say
somebody call on the name.
Something happens when I call your name.
There's an untapped revival in the Spanish community. Talk about that a little bit in Spanish.
Dios puede hacer grandes cosas en el ministerio hispano. Dios va a abrir puertas. Dios va a traer avivamiento. Dios va a hacer cosas que nunca ha hecho. Hay muchos hispanos y todos están tirados, todos están solos. Todos necesitan de Dios. Todos necesitan de Dios. Necesitan de Dios. There's a lot of Hispanics out there that have a love for God. They in their tradition, in their culture, they venerate God. They respect God. It's in them. It's in them. They respect authority. They love God and they need God. They need God on the inside of them, and God can do it.
Amen, 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 amen. Every wall is going to come down. Every wall. I want you to think about the most difficult situation that you know of. A wall around a person, a wall around a family. I want you to think about that right now. And I want you to begin to say, but every wall is going to come down. And he's going to give me every place that my foot treads on. And in every place there's going to be a sweet smelling sacrifice unto God. Come on, come on. God, clap your hands, lift your voice right now. I didn't know where you were going when you went in the book of Acts, but in the book of Acts, after he poured out that Holy Ghost and did that new thing, he started kicking down walls. He started kicking down walls that separated people. He started kicking down walls that separated cultures. He started kicking down walls and made it known that his house was going to be a house of prayer for all people. Everybody can come. There's nobody beyond the reach of God tonight. Once more, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Clap your hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God's going to do some things that are going to make everybody that hears it, it's going to make your ears tingle. Now what that means is, it's not the physical sensation. It means you're going to go, oh, I never saw it like that before. Praise God. God bless you. Strengthen and bless somebody. Brother Phillips, we're glad you're here. We want to dig in. Now, next Sunday, Brother Wade Bass is going to be here. And we're just going to keep shifting.